Hi everyone, just a quick note before we get to today's podcast. If you could please take 1 minute out of your day to rate and review the podcast, and of course, please subscribe, it would mean a lot. As always, we really appreciate the ongoing support from all of you and the great feedback we are getting. I hope you guys enjoy today's podcast. Cheers. It is a beautiful Monday morning.
That's not a good start, is it, Jordan?
No.
Let's say it like this.
Try and apply that theory to any other industry in the world.
It's a scam.
I was betting like 70, 80K.
This is the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, helping you beat the bookmakers. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 38 of the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast. We are back with a preview of the Champions League this time. The Champions League is back along with the Europa League, which kicked off last night. We're recording this on Thursday morning. I am joined by George Gamble from Card Spreadsheets, as always, mate. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm doing well. Got my coffee at hand and I'm ready to go. But yeah, cheers for having me on again.
Yeah, just so everyone is aware, it's 8 a.m. in Sweden, 7 a.m. in the UK and 11 a.m. in Vegas. And you can guess who's coming from Vegas, Haru Masayan, pro sports bettor. How are you, mate?
All right, bro. Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that wants to come on at 11 o'clock at night is more than welcome to come on. mate, I'll start with you. I'll start with a quiz question because I've just remembered the format of the podcast. So football quiz question of the week, fellas. We'll go Champions League themed. Who was the only player to score a UEFA Champions League hat-trick for Chelsea? And before I get into the multiple choice and you scream out an answer, Haru, remember that the answer is revealed at the end. I'll give you four options in no particular order. George is ready to pounce on whoever I say for third. But maybe I'll go a bit of reverse psychology today. I'll give you Samuel Eto'o, Nicolas Anelka, Diego Costa, or Didier Drogba. So there's your options today, fellas, and we'll get to that at the end. Before we get into the football, though, I wanted to ask you, Haru, you're big into the NBA, and obviously the NBA bubble began last week. Anything interesting going on there? Any trends or any edges you found so far?
I mean, early on, in the first set of games, the edges were just crazy because they had released the odds for the games like a month before they were going to start. So just a bunch of information coming into the market causing a lot of volatility and movement in the odds and totals for these teams and these games. So I think like when you're able to, you know, set yourself up to like absorb that information, yeah, you can find some really good spots. We were seeing that a lot more. And then the pace of the game is always changing. These players, they're kind of not in the same, you know, shape. Injuries are a lot more common now because they've been away from the game for a while. So you're just getting a lot more player news. So it's causing a little bit more of that variance in the odds, the up and down. So it's just different type of market now, but there is still always opportunity. It's kind of a cool sport to be betting right now.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I noticed within TradeMate, there's lots of just massive edges coming through, and there's just a few particular bookmakers I'm noticing that are really slow at picking it up, like minutes and minutes at a time. If it comes through, I can, you know, go to the bathroom and back, and it'll still be there. So
yeah, those such a move that way. It's not really so much sharp money. It's more like a player that like a. You're seeing those kinds of movements in Europe betting basketball, just to give you guys up because of a player being ruled out or something. So in those spots where you feel like you're getting 3 points on the spread, I think you should always bet it if you can get it because it's a good edge. You're betting into something that is true movement.
Yeah, you're breaking up a bit there, mate. I don't know if George, you're picking that up too.
Yeah.
We'll just trudge along there. I had another question for you, Haru, and more obviously relevant to football, and this is also relevant to the EPL too. But when you have games like we have coming up, I mean, you know, your Liverpools, your Arsenals, your Manchester United, like these big name teams. And the comparison I'm making here is kind of Juve versus Lyon, Barcelona, Napoli. Lots of people are betting on these bigger teams like Barcelona and Juve just because they like them, or they're just massive popular clubs all around the world. I've always wondered, like, would you say the odds on those teams are less efficient, or is it more about, is there a way of like distinguishing between the smart money on them and what's not smart money on them?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is always someone out there who knows something. So I think that there's still going to be some type of an edge to be had, because these teams, like, they're just, they never really get matched up with each other unless they're playing club friendlies or like competitions like the Champions League or Europa, because they're just in different leagues. But I think that there are certain things that, you know, sharp players do look for. That can give them an edge. I mean, these teams, like I said, they never really play against each other, so there might be some stuff that they're looking at here to find a possible edge. I think that there is always going to be square money as well that'll kind of blend in with the action that's coming from sharps. So I mean, it's really hard to kind of gauge what the true probabilities of these matches are. I think that there's a little bit more subjectivity involved, but I think that there's still edges that can be picked up along the way.
So you'd still say it's pretty efficient markets, even when, like, I don't know, maybe this isn't even a great example, like maybe like a Liverpool versus Norwich or something like that.
I think in these instances, the markets are going to be more efficient based on what people are willing to pay, as opposed to it necessarily being like the true defined probability or the outcome of the match. So I think that, you know, as bookmakers in these spots, and we've heard it in a bunch of Pinnacle podcasts as well, their objective is to just get to a number where they can book on both sides, basically, you know, just to meet that supply and demand where people are willing to pay a price on both sides.
Yeah. Okay, interesting stuff, mate. George, you're still there, mate. I just wanted to ask you, as a Man City fan, are you worried about the effect that this schedule could have on your team? Because, I mean, I'm trying to think about if they made it all the way to the final, what, they probably have 2 weeks before the Premier League starts, maybe?
Well, because obviously the final is on the 23rd of August, isn't it? So yeah. It's, I think, 23rd of August. And then, was it the 9th or the 19th, the Premier League new season? Was it? I'm sure, I thought it was the 19th.
I know that, well, because Arsenal, obviously, we made it all the way to the Community Naturally. Shield final. So I'm very informed there that the Community Shield is in 3 weeks.
Right.
Well, 3.5 weeks by the time this comes out. Yeah. So that would, normally they play that 1 week before the Premier League starts.
Of course, yeah.
So I'm assuming it's September 8 or 9.
I mean, regardless if it's the 9th or the 19th, it's still a very quick turnaround, isn't it? So, ever so slightly, because obviously, naturally, we want to kind of get the Premier League title back next season. And given the format of the Champions League, I think obviously we've got a great chance of winning it this time, because obviously it's not over two legs. Obviously, this is the second leg, but it's a one-off game from here on. You know, we can beat anybody in the world on our day in a one-off game. So, yeah, we stand a really good chance of that. In terms of if it'll affect us for next season, I think later in the season, the later stages is when you'll see it take effect. I think, you know, because we're not getting as much time off as, say, a lot of other sides in the Premier League. And this is when injuries happen. And as we all know, City have had their fair share of bad luck when it comes to injuries. So if there's a club that doesn't really, that could do without having the least time off in order to get those injuries, then it's City. It kind of, you have to weigh up what's more important, I guess. I mean, if we won the Champions League, then you'd say it's worth it.
Yeah.
But only time will tell. But I think it could have an effect, yeah, later on within next season, as the players start to tire, because they've had a considerable less amount of time off compared to other teams in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, more so you do have the squad to cope with it, let's be honest, but it's more so, I'm thinking more so defensive-wise, which is probably your weak point. You know, if you picked up an injury to Laporte or your brand-new signing Ake, then you're kind of in the trouble that you were last season.
Yeah. Exactly. This is it. I mean, we've obviously made signings to kind of obviously cover those positions, and we've got, yeah, probably the best squad in the Premier League in terms of cover. But there are some obviously players there that you can't really replace. Obviously, the likes of, if I always say the same thing, for Liverpool, it's been Van Dijk, it's been Mane, you know, players of that calibre that if you take them out of their side, they're a completely different side. It doesn't matter who you put in. And it's largely the same with us. You saw that with obviously Laporte when he was missing. John Stones hasn't kicked on since he moved to the club in the first place. Otamendi spent half his life horizontal, just sliding around. So he's a bit of a liability as well. But no, I'm excited about the signing of Ake. I think he could prove a lot of people wrong in terms of, oh, he's just a player that's gone down and, you know, went down with Bournemouth. No, I think he could seriously improve and make some serious strides within his career with City. But obviously, time will tell. But it's players like that that we need, because I think injuries are probably going to be inevitable, depending on how far we go in the Champions League.
Yeah. All right, boys, we'll get into it. Preview of the four games that are on Friday and Saturday. On Friday, we have Juventus versus Lyon. Lyon winning that first game in a bit of a shock result, 1-0. So they have the advantage heading into the second leg. Odds here, Juventus 1.48, draw 4.85, and the win for Lyon at 8.3. George, anything interesting here stats-wise or card-wise?
It's difficult card wise. You can never quite tell in Europe, obviously, with what's going on. Having a look through it, obviously, I'll be posting some sheets regarding that and who the refs are and obviously all of those stats. But the interesting thing that I've found is obviously just through the general kind of results. Funny enough, in the first leg, Juventus pretty much battered Lyon and they had all of the ball, saw all of the possession, had more shots than Lyon. But obviously, a Lucas Toussaint goal got the win for Lyon. You know, for example, Lyon have lost four of their five European matches away in Italy. I think in the knockout phase, Lyon are winless in their last 10 away and failing to score in six of those as well. They've also lost the second leg in 9 out of 10 UCL, like Champions League knockout sides too. I think this is Juve's for the taking. I don't think Lyon, judging by the stats anyway, I don't give them too much of a chance. You know, particularly with Juventus have been poor really since they won the Scudetto. Since they've won that, they've been pretty shambolic, to be honest, for want of a better word. But you know, Ronaldo scored 18 goals in his last 12 home Champions League knockout matches, and that includes four hat tricks. So these are the kind of games that Ronaldo sort of lives for, really. So if he's obviously on form, I don't give Lyon much hope. I personally think Juventus will clinch it, but it'll be a tight one again. I don't see this being a goal fest. I think it'll be a standard Italian defence, as it were. I think it'll go on the unders, but I see Juventus coming through this one.
Yeah, all right, mate. George, what are the markets saying? Oh, sorry.
I was like, what?
Sorry.
I was waiting for George to answer.
That would have been interesting. What are the markets saying, George, by the way, mate?
I'm confused now.
I was fucking with you, mate. Haru, mate, what are the markets saying?
So, I mean, we're seeing quite a bit of activity. There's money, like, coming and being matched and traded on both sides of the total and both the handicap for the goal line, but I don't see any really any action that's leaning one way that's causing massive movement on any of the lines. Where the market's currently sitting at is kind of where it opened at. So I haven't really seen any real sharp action come in. Who knows if it'll come in later, but that's what the market's showing me right now.
When you're looking to place a bet in these games where there's been a first leg already played, maybe this isn't a great example because both teams still kind of have to play their A game, I guess. But maybe in a game like Bayern-Chelsea where the result's almost decided and Bayern don't really have to try too much to get the result, are you factoring that into your betting?
I mean, it's obviously something that you want to take note of so that if you do see movement in the line, you can understand why they're doing certain things. So having that information is definitely useful, but at the end of the day, there is so much more information that can come into the market that holds more weight over something like that. You know, it could be weather. Who knows if a player gets sick, they're out. You never know what's coming in. So I think just taking mental note of those things just so you have that information available to you when you're analyzing the market or looking for value, I think that gives you more an advantage when you're betting.
Yeah. All right, fellas, we'll move on to the other game on Friday. Your Man City, George, playing Real Madrid. 2-1 in the first leg to Man City. They have two away goals there, which will be vital heading into this game. Man City at 1.77. draw 4.65 and Real Madrid at 1.55. All these odds I'm giving out are the highest odds I've found. George, mate, how do you... I mean, you've got a bit of a biased opinion here, but what are you thinking in this one?
Yeah, naturally, I'm obviously going to have a biased opinion. But the thing is, the stats kind of back up City to go through. Looking at it, I mean, obviously, just getting all the stats on again. In terms of goals, I think there will be goals in this one. There always is with City. A, because they know where the net is, but also they ship a lot as well because our defence has been calamitous. So, and we're playing against Real Madrid, obviously. So I think there will be goals in this one, but I see City going out and going through. Obviously, Real without Sergio Ramos. Was very surprised, don't know if you saw, obviously, Gareth Bale's been left out of the squad entirely. But he's a man who, yeah, I know he's absolutely, he's got Real Madrid on strings, hasn't he, with the things that he's doing. But
yeah, it's hilarious.
He's a man that can win a game in a single moment. So I was very surprised that he's been left out. Obviously, glad from a City fan's perspective. But yeah, so obviously no Sergio Ramos, which I think is going to be a big thing for us. As well as that, you know, City have scored at least two goals in 13 of their last 16 Champions League games. As well as that, because I think City have progressed in all seven previous knockout ties when winning the first leg away from home. That's in all UEFA competitions, so both the Europa League when we were in it and the Champions League. Whilst Madrid, they've never ever overturned a deficit after losing the first leg at home on four previous occasions. They've never managed to do it. So I'm hoping it won't be the first time on Friday. but as well as that, Pep's, I think it's five home knockout phase matches as City manager. I've seen 28 goals, so that's 18-4 and 10 against. But in the first leg, Madrid managed just 9 shots. They've only attempted fewer on one previous occasion in a Champions League knockout game under Zizou, and that was 7 against Bayern in 2018. So we managed to shut them out at the Bernabeu. Obviously, I know they scored, but we managed to limit them to their shots. So I'm hoping we can do the same thing at home and actually grind out that win. But I think there'll be goals, so I'd give City double chance, but I think there's going to be goals in this one, so hopefully we're on the right side of them.
Yeah, what are you seeing, Haru? Like, do you see some value in the 1.77? I mean, maybe it's a bit lower than that on the sharps, but is there any value there in Man City?
As of right now, the way the market's being bet into, I don't really see anything that I would personally get on. I'm just not really getting an edge. Usually when I'm getting it, hours before the match. And based on where it's currently sitting at, it's also really tight. There's not real movement. There's not much there, both on the total and on the goal line.
Okay, yeah, you're broken up again there, yeah. Mate. But we'll keep moving along, and hopefully you gave out some good advice there.
Oh my word!
All right, well, we might as well go to Saturday, Bayern versus Chelsea. I was quite surprised actually by the odds in this one, considering Chelsea. I mean, I would assume they're pretty devastated after what happened to them on Sunday at the hands of the mighty Arsenal. Mm. And they've also picked up a lot of injuries in that game. And I, from my research that I've done, I believe that none of their new signings can play, like the likes of Timo Werner, Hakim Ziyech. They're not playing. So, I mean, it might be a pretty pretty poor Chelsea lineup, especially.
Yeah.
I mean, especially their defense. Like, the defense is not too strong. And they also got some injuries there with Azpilicueta. So, and you got the likes of Lewandowski coming up against you. I mean, it doesn't look good for Chelsea here. So, I was quite surprised at the odds here of 1.41 for Bayern, although it is low. It still seems like a pretty decent price. Draws at 5.7 and a Chelsea win is at 8.9. George, what do you think? Are you agreeing with me on this one?
Yeah, I'm just thinking you're a brave I'm just going to say it, a very stupid man, I think, if you back Chelsea. I mean, yeah, it's good odds, but everything is against them, including, you know, all the stats, which we'll go through in a minute. But as you said, obviously, those injuries they got in the FA Cup final, obviously against Arsenal, they were just... Well, excuse the pun, but they're mounting up, weren't they? So
yeah.
It was. But so yeah, they're struggling, and I mean, looking at Chelsea as well, you know, I think they're winless in their last 7 away Champions League knockout games. You know, I mean, obviously they lost the first leg 3-0 anyway. And Chelsea have only scored 3 away goals in a knockout phase of the Champions League once. And that was a 3-1 win away at Liverpool all the way back in 2009. So they need to obviously do something special there. But saying that, Bayern have only conceded 3 at home in 3 out of a huge 43 home Champions League knockout games. But the most recent was a 3-1 home defeat to Liverpool in 2019. You know, everything's against them when I say that Bayern have won their last 7 UCL matches. They've scored at least 3 goals in 6 of the last 7. You know, as you said, the firepower that Bayern have got is simply ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And against this Chelsea side that's struggling defensively, obviously with personnel, that kind of thing. Their goalkeeping situation as well, let's not forget that, obviously. Kepa short of confidence. Caballero, you know, he's all right, but he's not, you know, he's not great. He's not going to keep out too many. You struggle to make a case for Chelsea in this one. You really do. So, and as you said, I think they're probably resigned to going out of the Champions League now. So they're not going to want to risk any heavy injuries to any more of their decent players. So I think you're right, and I agree with you in that I don't think they'll play a ridiculously strong lineup in the hopes of getting something back. I think they'll just want to get through the game unscathed and know they've probably been beaten from the first leg. So I think Bayern at 1.41 is a, obviously it's not a great price, but it's probably a little too good. If you like, I'd have them even a bit shorter to get the win against Chelsea. Mm. So, yeah.
Well, that was what I was surprised about, that price. And the only thing that I could think of that maybe the reason that the compilers have put that price on is the fact that Bayern don't have to really do anything. They already have a 3-0 lead. So that's the only thing that keeps me hesitant on that price. But like you said, Pulisic will be out. I mean, as soon as he was ruled out, their attacking threat, like he's an absolute gun. Like all their attack was going through him. Mount actually played pretty decent, and I've heard Chelsea fans that he was probably their best player ever since the break. Well, ever since after the COVID break. But yeah, I just.
Plus, you've got mumblings as well of Willian obviously refusing another contract extension because he might be headed to Arsenal potentially on a free transfer. So, you know, they might be losing him. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes there. So, whether he plays will be interesting to see too. This game, I don't think Chelsea are going to show up. I think this is Bayern's all day. But as you said, they've got nothing to do. So, we could either see an absolute rout again from Bayern, or it could be one of those. It's just a very low scoring game, just waiting to kind of see it through. But
What are you seeing anything in the market at the moment, Haru?
Yeah, I mean, towards the end of July, even during like the FA Cup final, we started seeing some more movement in favor of Bayern. They opened at around like 1.5, and now they've just really climbed up and their odds are dropping. So I think that there is good support for them, and for a lot of good reasons that you and George mentioned. I think that they are the correct side, and I think that there could still be they can get more expensive closer to the start of the match on Sunday.
So you're saying the price will go up on Bayern heading into the game, or are you saying it'll get lower?
I think so, yeah. No, I think that it'll get more expensive, so the price that you're getting now will probably be better than what you'll get closer to the start of the match. I think there's support there, and I don't see any supporting reason that that there would be money coming against Bayern. I don't think the price. So, for the money to come on Bayern, but it could reach its potential soon. So if you're going to make a play, probably bet it now rather than later.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thanks for that, mate. Barcelona and Napoli is the other one on Saturday. Probably the most interesting encounter out of all of them. 1-1 from the first leg. Barcelona's at 1.66, 4.3 the draw, and 6 in odds flat for Napoli. They're the best odds I could find. George, cards-wise, stats-wise, anything interesting here, mate?
Again, cards wise, it's sort of difficult to tell at the moment. Obviously, it's tight at 1-1. I'm waiting for obviously some of the lines to come out as well and just kind of do a bit of comparison. It is an interesting one, though, you're right, because you know both of these sides are undefeated in the Champions League in their last 7 matches. So, obviously, something's going to have to give here, isn't it? But one thing I did notice, obviously, there's quite a few absentees missing this one. I think Dembele's out through injury, Vidal and Busquets are out as well. I think they're suspended. Looking through that, and Umtiti's doubtful as well.
whilst from Napoli, Maximovic and Insigne. Well, Maximovic is definitely out, but Insigne is doubtful. So there's quite a few personnel missing for this one potentially. You've got a fancy Barca at home though, haven't you? And the stats back that up. You know that. But the thing is, what did surprise me actually is Barcelona hosting Napoli in a competitive match for the first time, which is was a bit surprising. But yeah, Napoli's two previous away Champions League in the knockout phase, sorry, they both ended in defeat, and that was 3-1 to Real Madrid in 2017 and 4-1 to Chelsea in 2012. So they need to obviously improve on that. But Barca have progressed from each of their last 19 Champions League knockout phases after avoiding defeat in the first leg away. So that's some effort. So Napoli have a job on their hands to sort of stop that one. And this is Quique Setién's first home Champions League game as Barca manager. So 10 out of 11 of the previous managers have won those games for Barcelona, except one, which was Louis van Gaal back in 97, who drew with PSV. So he'll be hoping to join that company of winning managers. Despite the absentees, I still think it's Barcelona's to win. You know, they were unlucky in the first leg. Obviously, Napoli played extremely well, but Barca could have had a couple of themselves. I'd have to side with Barcelona on this one. Obviously, looking at those odds, at 1.66, I still think it's a fairly good price. I'd want it a bit higher, though, if I was looking at that. I don't think Napoli are going to win, so it's a bit difficult to choose, but on the cards, I think Napoli would pick up a couple because I don't see Napoli winning. I think Barca are going to apply that pressure. I think straight from kickoff, it's going to be all Barcelona. So if I was to say anything, I'd want Barcelona to win and potentially Napoli to pick up a couple of cards.
Well, it's probably important to keep in mind also that Barcelona do have the away goal too. So
exactly.
If it does get into a situation, I mean, but then obviously Napoli, if they score, then they're matching them on away goals. So just, keep that in mind when you are placing a bet for this one.
Yep.
Haru, what are you seeing in the market at the moment, mate?
This is the one game out of the four games that the total has actually seen an activity. The under three goals opened at around $2, and we're seeing it drop to like 1.83 right now. And I see clear signs that it can even go even lower. So I'm thinking that I can easily gauge this and say that it's going to go towards like 1.7 for the under three. And I'm probably going to play it in this spot here. This is the one total that I actually like based on the way the line has moved in my experience. When I'm seeing a move like this, it generally goes even more closer to the start of the game. So I'll probably say the best play on this game specifically is the under three goals.
Okay, cool, mate. That's interesting stuff. All right, fellas, that wraps it up. Four games, easy as that. Before we get to your best bets of the weekend, I thought I would give you Marius and I's picks for the week. Unfortunately, Marius hasn't got back to me, so he probably just tune into CBS if you're interested to see what his value picks for this for the Champions League are. And myself, I actually forgot to do some decent research, but I'm trying to remember. I think I've already played Parramatta in the NRL. Sorry, Parramatta minus 7.5 or something like that against the Sharkies on Sunday. So if you're interested in the NRL, that's my action for the weekend. But yeah, fellas, what do you reckon? Haru, you got any, what are you thinking? Under three, is that your best pick for Barcelona and Napoli?
Yeah, that's my best pick. I'd give out an NBA play for you guys, but unfortunately the odds don't really come out till the day before, so I can't really help there. But for the Champions League, the one that I like the most out of all the options is the under three on Napoli. I'll probably start building a position there and try to get as heavy as possible if I keep seeing the odds drop on that.
Yeah. And George?
Again, in terms of cards, I'm going to kind of wait out until I can do a bit more, delve into a bit more research with the referees in particular as well, because that's a big part of it. But I'm going to brave it for me, my best bet. It's going to be City double chance and over 2.5 goals. And looking at that, obviously, for those in the UK, the odds are, I think, 17 to 20 on William Hill. But if you want, obviously, that's as a decimal, it's 1.85 or minus 118 in American as well. So I think there's value in that, considering, you know, obviously the amount of goals these two score. So that's going to be my best bet. City double chance and over 2.5.
Awesome. Thanks, fellas. And thanks for coming up in the early morning hours, George. And thank you to Haru for staying up very late tonight. Before we get to the answer for the quiz question, if you want to catch any of our guests, so George, you can find him at @cgeorgegamble on Twitter, and obviously all his write-ups he does for We Love Betting, so make sure you follow him there. And also you can find Haru at BetLikeHaru, H-A-R-O-U-T, on Twitter. Both phenomenal accounts to follow, giving away free information that is just absolute quality. Quiz answer for the week, fellas. I'll go back up to the question. If you have forgotten, who was the only player to score a UEFA Champions League hat-trick for Chelsea? Options: Samuel Eto'o, Nicolas Anelka, Diego Costa, or Didier Drogba. George, what do you reckon, mate?
It's not Samuel Eto'o for a start, so you can rule that one out straight away. Again, I don't think it was Nicolas Anelka, so for me it's between Costa and Drogba. I feel like it would have been a group stage game as opposed to a knockout game. And considering they were in... you've got to go Drogba. Drogba's their best player. The best player they've had. I'm going Drogba. That's my answer.
Haru, what do you reckon, mate? From all your experience of watching Chelsea football.
Well, I was thinking the same. Every time I saw something Chelsea related, I used to see Drogba in a highlight film. So I think I'm going to have to go with Drogba too.
Yeah, well done, fellas. You've killed it. Well done.
Oh, Haru, absolute dream team. You want to start making these questions harder, I reckon, Alex.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no way I should have gotten that one right. That was too easy.
Yeah, sorry, fellas. All right, we've got to end it there before this Zoom recording finishes and we cancel everything we've just talked about. But thanks for coming on again, fellas, and thanks for listening, everyone. Make sure you do a quick rate and review of the podcast and subscribe to us wherever you listen to our podcast. And if you're looking to implement any of the strategies we talk about weekly, and also the value betting ones, make sure you start a free week trial of TradeMate Sports and start your value betting journey. But we'll catch you later, fellas.
Cheers, thanks again for having me.
Thanks,
much appreciated.
See you guys.